Tonight we're going to be talking about biblical health. We have been talking about some pretty heavy things. Is that true? Yes or no? Are you ready for some more heavy stuff? Because if you didn't like me before, you're really not going to like me tonight. Because I'm going to touch the kitchen. See, when you start talking about the refrigerator, you become unpopular. But I'm going to try to be easy because you know what? The gospel is very beautiful. Sometimes it's a little harder to understand and comprehend and even consume and digest, but I'll tell you, God is good. Yes? Amen. So we're going to be looking at this topic tonight from a good, better, best ideology. Good, better, best. It's good that you want to be healthy. There's a better way of life, and there is a best way of life as well in regard to health. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about health and also how it relates to the end of time, because we are at the end of time. There is no question Jesus is right at the door, ready to come to take us home. And if we're faithful, if our works follow what our mouth professes, as we've been talking about, then we will be able to be excited about the fact that Jesus is coming. And I am excited about the fact that Jesus is coming because I have faith that works. Amen? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in fact, it is the Lord Jesus Christ working out his life in and through me. And that's our goal. So before we get going, please bow your heads with me and let's pray. It's good, Lord, to be here again in your house. Thank you so much for inviting us tonight. We have come to you. You've also been so kind and so humble as to come to us. You are the one that invited us. Thank you, Lord. I ask that your angels would be here with us tonight as well, that we would be able to rejoice in a non-distracted environment, that the Holy Spirit will be able to speak to us the words of life. Amen. May we talk about biblical health, but spiritual health as well, as was mentioned in that scripture that Pastor Rob had talked about in 3 John verse 2. And Lord, I beg that you would not trust me with a single word before this, your people, until this end, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, if you haven't been here before, but you would like to hear some of the previous messages, revelationwithdaniel.com/finaldays is a good place to go. We're going to be talking about health, generally from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And it's like throwing a stone on the water. Have you ever done that? If you hit the right angle with the right thrust, you're going to skip a few times, right? So through the Bible, we're going to skip a few times. I mean, there is no way we could talk about all of what the Bible talks about in regard to health because we would be here until Eutychus falls out of the window, okay? Now listen. Adam and Eve were tempted with diet. Is that true? You see, because remember there was a tree there. And God said, hey, you can have anything in the garden, but don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve, she decided that she was going to do something contrary to what God had said. She wasn't supposed to leave her husband's side. They were supposed to leave and cleave their family. They were supposed to be united. Well, she ended up leaving. And she got too close to the tree, and the tempter was like, hey, psst, come here. And as you read in Genesis chapter 3, she did come. She listened. She ate. She brought it to her husband. He ate. And the whole thing was over food. You have disease today. You have sin in your life. You have been separated from the glory of God because of food. You think that's a serious issue? Yes or no? Okay, we start out in the Bible talking about diet. Okay, third chapter, we're talking about the refrigerator. And so let's just understand that these things are extremely important because if we don't know how to take care of ourselves on the inside, or on the outside, physically, how can God trust us to take care of ourselves inwardly and outwardly, spiritually as well? Amen. So really, it's all about that. Now, the children of Israel, you can see numbers of times. In fact, excuse the pun, I said numbers. The Bible actually, in the book of Numbers, several times refers to diet in regard to the children of Israel. And they found themselves unfaithful. We read earlier, remember, in Exodus chapter 16, where God was testing the children of Israel to see if they would keep his law or no. Before the Ten Commandments were given in Exodus chapter 20, God said in Exodus chapter 16, I'm going to see if they're going to follow my law. I will give them food from heaven every single morning. They're going to be able to gather it. And if they keep it over twice as much on Tuesday, what happens to it? It turns rotten, it gets worms, and it stinks. But on Friday, what happens? It comes down in twice as much. And every man is supposed to gather twice as much for his family. And on Friday night, God works a miracle on the Sabbath. See, what happens is there's this keeping on a Friday night, whereas there wouldn't have been a keeping on any other night. And so that day, Sabbath, they were tested every Sabbath, even before the Ten Commandments were given. Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate that. They were tested before the Sabbath was given in the Ten Commandments, whether or not they would keep God's law. And it was revolving around food. I think that's pretty profound. Now, so you can look at the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Hey, let me just give you a clue. Daniel, according to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, and I believe it's verse 9. Both of those verses in chapter 12 of the book of Daniel itself says that that book is for the end of time. The time of the end, okay? We're shown in Daniel chapter 2, remember that image? Daniel said, hey, this is for you, king, but it refers to the latter days. Remember that? That was the second night, like a week ago. You guys are probably thinking, what? You haven't heard it before, some of you. And so this is all just rehearsing. And, you know, the more you hear it, the more it will become stuck in your head. That's why I'm saying some of these things over. But listen, this book, Daniel, is for the end of time, okay? And you know what's amazing about the book of Daniel? The very keynote message, chapter 1, the very keynote message of Daniel, the whole book, is chapter 1, specifically dealing with diet. You see, because God tested Daniel to see if he would be faithful in all things. And we're going to look at some scripture that will help that. We're not going to talk about Daniel. We're not going to go into that story. But if you read chapter 1, you will find some profound stances that God's people had to take in a very strange environment. Like, how could you claim that you want to, in fact, it was a vegan vegetarian diet. How could you claim you want a vegan vegetarian diet in Babylon as a captive? Hey, that's what they did, and they were blessed for it. You can read it yourself. Jesus, he was tested with diet. In fact, one of the greatest trials he ever faced was in Matthew chapter 4 or Luke chapter 4. You can read it for yourself. You see, the devil shows up after 40 days of what? Fasting. He hadn't eaten food for 40 days. Anybody ever done that before? I haven't, and I don't want to. Jesus fasted so that he could, how would you say, shun his own personal self to show that there's victory in Christ. And so after 40 days of not eating anything, the devil shows up. You see, Christ, he was weak and he was feeble. He was barely scraping by because he hadn't eaten for 40 days. He was probably shaking. Who knows what he looked like? But the devil shows up like a fallen angel as he was, beautiful, big, glorious, shining, strong. And he says, hey, if you're the Son of God, why don't you use that divine power and make those stones into bread? Go ahead, eat. And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, quoting from Deuteronomy, but by God's word only, basically. So, Jesus was tempted in diet. Do you think we then, after the example of Adam and Eve, Israelites, Daniel, and Jesus, do you think we're going to be tempted in diet? Yes. Absolutely. It is a strong temptation. If you've never had a second look at a chocolate cake, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. The devil gets in your ear. He's like, come on, it tastes so good. And you're like, oh, you know it tastes good. All right, I'll do it, but I'm so full, it doesn't matter. It tastes good. Guess what? You're one bite away from sin, family. So listen, the scripture is pretty clear. The Bible says, let me see if this works here. Oops. Now there was one other thing I was supposed to see first. The eight doctors. You can call them the eight doctors in the book of Genesis. Okay? Nutrition is one of them. You can find it in chapter 1, verse 29. God said, in fact, let's just turn there real quick. I won't read them all because we have a lot to read tonight. But let's just go there for a second. Genesis chapter 1. You're going to find eight natural doctors in the book of Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Okay? Nutrition, chapter 1, verse 29. The Bible says, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for what? Food, or the King James says meat. Guess what? Meat doesn't mean flesh. Flesh doesn't grow on trees the last time I checked. Okay? So here, what he's saying is the stuff that has seed in it, that grows, the stuff that comes from trees, that's what, in the Garden of Eden, you're going to eat. So right there, at the very beginning, God gave a whole foods diet. Amen? Well, the next thing in chapter 2, verse 15, God had said to Adam, the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So God, right at the very onset of creation, gave Adam something that we could consider was exercise. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible says that there was the earth without form and void. There was the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the what? The waters. You see, the waters were given clear, pure water at the very beginning. Sunshine was given. Remember on day 4, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars? That was actually after God said, let there be light, which is kind of profound. You can check that out for yourself. So, trust in God. Chapter 2, verse 17, read that one with me. It says, but, Adam, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Now, so if Adam had trusted God, he would have been far better than what he ended up being, right? Okay, air. Chapter 2, verse 7. God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and it says in verse 7, he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Do you think that was pure, fresh air? Absolutely. Fresh air at the very beginning. Chapter 2, verse 2, remember this one. We read this the other night. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He called it the Sabbath. He blessed it. He sanctified it. That day was a day of rest, given at the very onset of this earth, showing us how to have good health, or these seven doctors. I'm sorry, eight. The final one is temperance. Think about this for a second. Nutrition. Broccoli's good to eat, right? What if you eat like 10 pounds of broccoli? Is that healthy in one meal? So that's too much, right? What if you only eat one little spore of broccoli every week? Is that good? No, that's not enough. So there's temperance involved. You got to have the right amount, okay? What about exercise? Can you work or exercise too little? What happens if you exercise too much? Yeah, you get sore, which is good in a sense, but if you do it too much, you're not good. Too much water, what happens? You drown, right? Not enough water? You dehydrate. You see how the temperance is kind of built into these natural doctors? So guess what? It actually spells something. Look on the left-hand side of this list here. It says N-E-W-S-T-A-R-T. New start. I want a new start. What about you? Some of us have been going on through life just collecting diseases. But hey, listen, God has given in his Bible a new start on life, a new focus. And so God is giving you tonight something that you'll be able to put in your pocket right from the Word and say, you know what, I'm going to make some changes and God's going to give me a new start. And guess what? The Bible teaches, does it say it? There it is. Well, I don't know, maybe it said it before, but everything in heaven, in the new earth, will be the same as when we had it there in the Garden of Eden. Because you see, the Garden of Eden is going to be restored. The Garden of Eden of God is going to be restored to man in the new earth. The meek, the Bible says, shall inherit the what? Earth. That's right. So nutrition will be there. That's in chapter 22 of Revelation. And it says, in the midst of the street of this city and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manners of fruits, and it yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So there's going to be 12 different fruits on this one tree. So I suppose we're going to eat whole foods again, kind of like in the Garden of Eden when we're in heaven, right? So what about exercise? Chapter 21, verse 24. The Bible says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of the city. Okay? So we're going to actually have exercise. We're going to be walking. Now, water, 22 verse 1, the Bible says, he showed me the pure river of water of life. So you have the water of life there, which is pure river. Sunshine, we're going to, I would spell it S-O-N, space, shine, 22 verse 5. There shall be no night there, and they have no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever. Trust in God. Of course we're going to trust in God. The Bible says that we'll never shut the gates of the city because we're going to have trust in the maker of that city. Fresh air, chapter 21, verse 1. There's a new heaven and a new earth, totally fresh. Rest, 22, verse 5. The Bible says, and there shall be no night there, and they shall have no need, neither, am I reading the right one? Neither light of the candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, then they will reign forever and ever. I wonder why I chose that one. No night there? I guess we're going to have rest without sleeping. So yeah, I suppose that's what I was thinking. Temperance. Again, temperance is built into all these things. Because even in heaven, if you get too much water, not a good thing. Although, at that point, we're not going to die because we're going to have everlasting life. Amen? Let's continue. Read with me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you hadn't thought about that verse before, what it's saying is, you as a living being, not dead. If you can hear my voice, you're not dead, you're living. As you are alive, give yourself unreservedly unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. If you have any reasoning in your head and you see, okay, Lord, what have you done for me? Not only did he leave the kingdom of heaven, worshiped regularly by the angels, to come down here in human flesh, he lived in Fresno, if you will, but it was 2,000 years ago. Okay? He lived here on the streets. He walked, he talked, he suffered. He lived a perfect life for you. He also, so that you wouldn't have to, he died in your place, taking your sin. And as a result of taking your sin, he suffered. He paid the penalty. He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you, if he did all that for you, it is reasonable service for you to render yourself as a living sacrifice to him. That's what the Bible's talking about. It says, listen, as a living sacrifice, not one that's torn down and broken and diseased, killing himself or herself. No. The Bible says in 3 John verse 2, like we were talking about earlier with the pastor, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health physically, even as your spiritual self or your soul prospers. So does he only want you to be prosperous spiritually? Yes or no? No. He wants us to be spiritually and physically healthy. Why? To render unto God a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Read this one with me, would you? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What? Your Bible says that you're supposed to eat to the glory of God? You can read it. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Your Bible has it, just like mine does. And you're supposed to drink to the glory of God? And whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God? Yeah. In fact, the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, or is it 17? I think it's 17. If you're a new creature, all things have become new. Old things are passed away because you are a new and living creature. God renews you, and therefore, as a result, He wants you to, in whatsoever you do, eating and drinking, do it for His glory. Now, look at the contrary. Is it possible to not eat to the glory of God? Yeah. That's why He says you should eat to the glory of God. Can you not drink to the glory of God? I used to drink, friends. I used to drink heavily. I didn't drink for just like being cool with a glass. I drank to get drunk. And that is not to the glory of God. I'll tell you, I was foolish. I did some stupid stuff when I was drunk. I don't do it anymore. I could. I know how to go into a liquor store and pull out my credit card and buy some beer. I could do that right now. But guess what? I don't want to. God has been too good for me, and I am a living sacrifice for Him. That's my goal. So, if you were to go out and get yourself a brand new VW, it's not the fanciest car in the world, but it's not free. If you were to go out and get one of these, and you thought, you know what, I'm going to take care of this car. I'm paying good money for this car. So I'm going to buy some of the best Odwalla juice I can find, and I'm going to put it in the oil container. It's the best Odwalla. This stuff is good. Have you ever had it? It's really good. And it's pricey too. I mean, that stuff's not free. You get one of these little things for like $5. So, I mean, that's a good idea, right? Taking care of your car. Except one thing's wrong. You didn't read the manual. Guess what the Bible is? B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. If you never heard that one, you got to write that one down. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's the manual. You see, if you read the manual for this brand new VW, you're not going to put Odwalla in there. You're not going to put water in the gas tank. Because where would you end up? You'd end up in the hospital. You'd be on the side of the road suffering. Trying to get the next breath. See, now, I'm sick. I shouldn't have done that because I'm going to start coughing now. You see? I better get one of my other little cough drops out. Here, I'm talking about being healthy and I'm eating a cough drop, right? For shame. No, seriously. I breathed something I was allergic to. It went directly into my lungs and it was an attack of the enemy during this series of meetings, I promise you. Listen. Heart disease and cancer, stroke, lung disease, diabetes. These things are rampant in our world. Yes or no?
Yes.
How many of you know somebody that has cancer? How many of you know somebody who's had a stroke? How many know somebody with lung disease? One of my good friends from high school died of lung disease. He's no longer with us. And guess who gave him his first cigarette? I did. I was at a party like, come on, Ken, come on, man. Everybody's cool that's doing it. Acting like a fool, and he did. He took a marble out of my hand, he lit that thing up, he smoked, coughed and coughed and coughed. But after a while, he was smoking. He is dead today from lung cancer. For shame. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And I had part in killing my friend by giving him a cigarette because he was addicted. Guess what? I was 7 years old when I started smoking cigarettes. I was 9 years old when I started drinking the beers my dad would tell me to go get for him. I was stealing them from my neighbors. I was stealing them from my dad. And at 10 years old is when I started smoking marijuana. Why? Because my father gave me that example. You got to watch out for yourself and those that watch you, friends, because if you don't, you're leading somebody to hell. Come on. It's your fault. You got to take responsibility. If you got kids and you're acting the fool, it is your fault. By God's grace, I became a Christian. And by God's grace, my father later, 3 months before he passed away, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and asked me to baptize him. Amen. He died the night before I was able to baptize him. Yeah, it hurt. It hurt bad. But I'll tell you what, I believe that his faith in the grace of God is going to save his soul. Now listen, this coming Saturday morning, Pastor Rob has asked me to preach right from this pulpit at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I am going to share my personal testimony. If you'd like to come, please show up. Some of you have work. I understand that. You can go to revelationwithdaniel.com/final days, and you'll be able to hear it there because I'll post the audio MP3s there for you later. But you shall not kill your friend. You shall not kill yourself. If you're drinking, if you're smoking, if you're doing things that are contrary to God's laws regarding your health, it is sin. And it's something to put away because you are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. Jesus said, I have come that you might have what? Life. That you might have it more abundantly. You know, I was saying the other day, it's good to be alive. I mean that. It is good to be alive. I'm happy to be alive, and I'm more than that, happy to be a Christian that's alive. Because I'm telling you, it's fun to be a Christian. Now listen, smoking is Satan's counterfeit to God's fresh air. It causes heart disease, strokes, various forms of cancer, emphysema, premature births, poor circulation, shortness of breath. Could we go on? You know, I remember as a kid one time, a school teacher handed me one of those coffee straws. You know, those little red ones that they're not round. They're kind of like in a H shape, you know?
Kind of like stir stick.
Stir stick, yeah. She handed me two of them and said, put that in your mouth. I said, all right. She says, cover your nose. I said, okay. So she said, breathe. You know, I took it out. No. You got to keep it in there. So I'm breathing. She's no, you got to keep it, you got to breathe out. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? She's like, that is emphysema. If you smoke, that's how it feels like when you're breathing. How'd you like to suffer while you're living? Suffer from not being able to breathe. Drinking is Satan's counterfeit to God's pure water. Is it yes or no?
Yes.
Now listen, I want you guys to know and understand what the scripture says about drinking. And Jesus did not give the people at the wedding 6 kegs of alcohol. I promise you. He did not. I've been to keg parties. I know what happens there. And Jesus wasn't playing that game. Mm-mm. So listen, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. And whosoever is what? We have seen that word before, remember? You have the Antichrist over here. Remember? And there's Jesus Christ over here. They both are beasts. They both come up out of the water. They both look like the one before them. They both have horns. They both have crowns. They both have a name written on them. They both look like a lion, a leopard, and a bear. They both have been given throne, seat, and great authority from the one before them. They both have great mouths speaking wonderful things. And they both have been reigning for 1260 years, 42 months, or 3.5 years. The devil has tried to impersonate what God has. And he's doing it by deception. You see? Today we have churches that'll serve wine from the pulpit. And I don't think so. That's not God's plan. It is not God's plan. Wine is diseased fruit juice. And if you're deceived by that, you are not wise. That's pretty strong language there to me. I mean, I don't want to be dumb. If I'm deceived by wine, the Bible says I'm not wise. Now look at Proverbs 23, verses 31 through 32. Don't look upon the wine when it is red. When it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. Sparkling wine, you ever heard of such a thing? At the last, it bites like a snake, and it stings like a viper. You ever had a hangover? Oh yeah, I sure have. First, of course, the night before, you're bending over your porcelain god. After you're done there, you wake up and you just feel awful. Somebody says, hey man, good morning. You're like, oh, take it easy. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at wine like that. Chapter 23 of Proverbs, verses 33 through 34. Your eyes will behold strange women when you drink. I used to say something all the time. We'd go to parties. I'd be drinking. Somebody'd come in that I didn't know, and I'd say to my buddy, I'd be like, that chick is one beer away from being beautiful. Now listen, you say stupid stuff when you're drunk. You lay down the morals and you just don't have the ability to think like God wants you to think when you've been drinking. Okay? Your eyes will behold strange women. Your heart will utter perverse things just like I used to all the time. You will be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea. You ever been laying in your bed after you've drunk? And after you are drunk and you feel like the whole room is moving like this? That's what it's talking about. You will be as he that lies in the midst of the sea, or as he that lies upon the top of a mast. You know how ships do that. You've seen them. The mast is like the highest thing, going real far to the left, real far to the right, and it is sickening. You ever been seasick? After you lay down and you're feeling like that for a while, pretty soon you get up and it's all over the place. Why? Look at the next verse. They have stricken me. You will say, but I was not sick. They beat me. I didn't even feel it. When will I awake from this? And it says, well, I'm going to do it again the next time a party shows up. How foolish is that? Can you see the foolishness in it? Drinking is foolish. That's why the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 13. I want to show you something that is end time related in regard to health. You see, because God has something that is better for you. He has something that is best for you. God desires that you will have everything wholesome, everything pure. Well, guess what? The devil doesn't want that for you. In fact, the devil wants you to be addicted to certain things. You ever thought of that? That's why caffeine is in almost everything these days. Do you know that's addictive?
Yeah.
I can point to somebody in the room that could tell you that it is addictive and it's difficult to get out of. Have you ever been addicted to cigarettes? I have. I smoked for 12 years from 7 to 19 years old and it was very difficult to quit. I couldn't do it. You ever been addicted to alcohol? That's something I was never addicted to, but I sure wanted it every single night. The Bible says in Revelation 13, verses 15 through 17, this is the second beast of Revelation 13, that is, by the way, in cohorts. How do you say that? Cahoots. It's in cahoots with the first beast of Revelation 13, which is the Antichrist, okay? So at the end of time, they're going to be working together. He had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should do two things, speak and cause. That as many as would not worship, we've talked about that word before, worship the image of the beast, he will be what? Killed. That no man might buy or sell unless he had the mark of the beast and the number of his name. Whoa, wait a minute now. Are you telling me that the enemy is doing everything he can to try to get us addicted to things? So that when the mark of the beast scenario is set up, it will be almost physically impossible for us not to give in so that we can buy that next cigarette. That we can buy that next bit of alcohol. That we can buy that next line of meth. Are you kidding me? Yes. The devil wants you to be so addicted to something, even caffeine, that when the mark of the beast is set up, you'll be knocking on the door saying, please take my money. I need to get some Coca-Cola. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, showed you how to forsake self and live without the necessities for a time. If you do it now, I promise you, it'll be a whole lot easier than when all this stuff breaks down, which is going to be real soon. God is calling you tonight. Be my living sacrifice, he says. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It goes further than this. Turn to chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 23. There's a hidden word here that I found a while ago, and I thought, now wait a minute. Now, I don't know all this stuff. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. Neither am I a, how do you say that, pharmacist. But there's a root word here that just, you know, makes me think. Let me show you. Verse 23 of chapter 18. This is talking about the destruction of Babylon. The light of a candle will no more shine at all in you, Babylon. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall no more be heard at all in you, Babylon. For the people that buy, the merchants, were the great men of the earth. It's a worldwide thing. People bought from all over the world. For by your sorceries were all nations, the entire world, deceived. Deceived. Wait a minute. Sorceries? Sorceries caused them to be deceived? Do you know what the word sorceries is in the original language? Pharmakia. Exactly. Pharmakia. Where do we get, what word do we get from the old languages that we use today? Pharmacy. Okay, so does it mean, could it be connected somehow to, by your pharmacies were all nations deceived? They were addicted to the medications that is just given out left and right by almost every doctor on the face of the earth. Are you kidding me? Why? Because the devil wants you to be addicted. Now listen, some of you have to take medication. I understand that. But there are ways through natural remedies and following the eight doctors to actually get away from some of those things, if not all of them. Don't count my word for it. I don't want to be responsible for you, you know, like going into fits and whatever else. But listen, what was it called? Withdrawals. Thank you. If you talk to your doctor and say, hey, I want natural remedies for what I'm suffering, most of them are going to say what? But there's a lot of doctors out there now that are starting to take interest in natural remedies. If you do that, you just might be preparing for that time that God needs you to stand up for truth. Because I'm telling you, at the end of time, he's going to need people that are solid in health and in spirit. Amen? The Bible says there has no temptation ever taken any man but what is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation, he will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You can quote this verse. Put this verse in your head. And when you're there ready to grab that next beer out of the fridge, if you're ready to grab something out of your pocket and put it into your lips, you can say, Lord, this is tough for me. I want this right now. But you have said there is no temptation given over to men that you haven't provided for. And I believe it. And if you quote this verse and pull it out instead of the cigarette, you're going to have victory. Now, you wouldn't do this, would you? Putting gas into your brand new car? Why not? It wouldn't work. Oh, water. I said gas. Water. You wouldn't put water into your tank in your brand new car. It wouldn't work. And in the same logical way, health is not a matter of chance. My Bible says in Psalm 84, verse 11, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Say it with me. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You're like, oh man, but I love beer. Well, yeah, you might, but I promise you there's something better out there. And it's no beer. It's better, trust me. Way better. Now, we're going to have to buzz through all this stuff. I'm not even halfway through my sermon yet. Unclean meat. Satan's counterfeit to wholesome food. Do you know there are places on this earth where people actually eat those things? Here in North America, we're like, nasty. But over there, they're like, ooh, where's the fork? You know what I'm saying? That's some places in the world. Some places in the world where we, you know, here in North America, we eat pork. Some places in the world, they're like, ooh, nasty. We're over here going, give me the fork, you know? Question before I read that one. Don't read it. Don't read it. You saw the number 7. How many animals went into the ark during the time of Noah? 2s? Did they go by 2s, right? What if I said to you they also went by 7s? Would you believe me? Some of you are like, huh? Because I know you don't know this. A lot of people don't know this. The Bible says in Genesis 7, verses 1 and 2, the Lord said unto Noah, of every clean beast thou shalt take unto thee by 7s, the male and his female. And of the beasts that are not clean, by 2, the male and his female. Okay, so let's think about one of the animals that are unclean. Swine, okay? Pigs, pork, it's unclean. It's something the Bible condemns. Did Noah eat pork for supper? Yes or no?
No.
How do we know?
He would have wiped out
all the pigs. There was only 2 of them. If he would have had ham for supper, not talking about his son, if he would have had ham for supper, he would have totally abolished the race of pigs. That would have been it. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Didn't God tell Peter not to call any food unclean? Well, sure. Let's turn to it in Acts chapter 10. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 17, you can't miss verse 17. Peter doubted in himself what this vision that he had seen should mean. Because what happened is, if you read the previous verses, Peter, he's out praying on his roof. The Lord sends a vision, and it's a sheet that comes down from heaven. There's a bunch of animals on it, these unclean animals. And God says, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Peter's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. So God says it again. Peter, rise, kill and eat. He's like, God, I've never done that before. That's nasty. He says, Peter, rise, kill and eat. He says, Lord, I don't get it. So right there in verse 17, when Peter doubted in his mind what the vision which he had seen should mean, there were some men that came. In verse 19, Peter thought on the vision. He still didn't get it. So he shows up into a man's house named Cornelius the centurion. You can see that in verse 22. Well, so what happens is Peter, he goes in and he says, verse 28, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew, which Peter was a Jew, to keep company or even to come into somebody's house of another nation. But God has showed me, verse 28 at the end, don't miss it. God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And you're like, no, 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 no. Peter, he told you not to call any animal common or unclean. But guess what? The vision was symbolic. Because remember, beasts in symbolism represent nations. And so all of the unclean nations that the Jews called unclean and common, they were not to be called common at all because the gospel was going to the Gentiles. And Cornelius was proof And so some of your preachers will stand up and tell you that this says that you can eat pork. No, it doesn't. It means the gospel went to you. It doesn't mean you can eat anything that is on the face of the ground. Because if you could, I could go home and eat my son tonight. I will not do that. It is wrong. By the way, my son doesn't chew the cud and he doesn't have cloven hoofs. And also, I'm a vegetarian. So I'm not going to eat my son. But the Bible would condemn that anyways. Leviticus 11, verse 2 and 3. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat. Which you may eat. The animals that you may eat. Among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatsoever divides the hoof. Let me see if I can do that. Divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, and chewing the cud. That you may eat. What does that mean, cloven hooves and chewing the cud? Well, have you ever seen a cow and his foot, there's like a split there? All right, you've seen that. That's a cloven hoof, okay? And have you ever seen a cow standing there and he's just chewing? He's been there for like 30 minutes chewing. You know why he's doing that? He chews. He swallows. One of his stomachs digests. He spits it back up. He chews, and then he swallows it for another stomach. It digests. He spits it back up. He chews. He swallows it for another stomach. You didn't know that, did you? That's kind of nasty. Some of you folk eat menudo. Yuck. That's nasty. I used to eat that stuff. I ate everything under the sun. I'm not even going to tell you some of the stuff I ate because it's actually embarrassing. So if you've ever seen a cow out in the field chewing the cud, it's a cloven hoof and it chews the cud. So along with cows, if you really want to eat a cow, I don't. It's been 18 years since I've purposefully eaten cow. I don't want to eat cow anymore, okay? It's just, you know, vegetarians, you have to forgive us. It's just kind of gross to think about eating flesh these days. Some of you do, and hey, that's your business. There is, what I would encourage you to do is eat less flesh foods and more whole foods. Amen? That is good. Now there's better. Better is getting entirely away from animal products, okay? And the best, well, I guess I would just say entirely away from meat. The best is being completely vegan, vegetarian, not eating any dairy, not eating any flesh at all, just whole foods. Okay, so there's good, better, and best. If you're still eating these things, don't feel like you're totally condemned. You need to go home and pull out the cord of your refrigerator and dump it in the trash. Don't do that. Make decisions based on where you are to go further starting tomorrow. Amen? So I used to wake up and I used to cook a pound of bacon in the morning and I would eat that along with white bread and some Pepsi or coffee. Okay? I mean, it was like I was very unhealthy. I know what I'm talking about. Now it's very different. I don't eat that way. I have purposefully chosen to educate myself on what is healthy, what's good for the blood, what helps me stay awake and not feel like I'm tired all the time. These things make decisions. So if you want to eat this, that's okay. What are some other animals that are clean meats?
Sheep.
That are like the four-footed ones? Sheep, goats, deer, okay, what else?
Buffalo
or bison, ox, yeah, those are good, but I'm sorry, you guys, you got to put away the camel sandwiches. Just can't eat them anymore. You see, because it has a cloven hoof, but it doesn't chew the cud. You see, so no more camel sandwiches, I'm sorry, just you can't do it anymore. It's wrong. Deuteronomy chapter 14, let's turn there for a second and let's see what the Bible teaches there in Deuteronomy 14 about kind of the same thing, verses 7 through 8. I'll read it here. Nevertheless, you were reading earlier from Leviticus, but now we're in another book, Deuteronomy, verse 7. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud or of them that divide the cloven hoof, because they don't do it both. That's why. The camel, the hare, what's the hare? The rabbit, you can't eat rabbits anymore. The coney's like a rock hyrax or something, you can see them up on the on the YouTube, images.google.com, you can see so what they think is a coney. I don't know what a coney is. For they chew the cud, but they don't have divided hoof. Therefore, they are unclean to you. Okay, it's like the same thing as God saying, don't eat this pulpit. It's not going to be any health for you. Okay, it's the same thing. God is saying, don't eat these animals. They're not healthy for you. Let me tell you, pork tastes really good. It's true. It tastes really good. I know. But the Bible says it's not good for you. Look at the next verse, verse 8. The swine, it does divide the hoof, yet it does not chew the cud. It is unclean to you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Why don't you touch their dead carcass? I'll tell you, pigs are filthy, filthy animals. You do any research in regard to pigs at all, and you come away realizing like, wow, God was pretty smart to tell me that I shouldn't eat that foul thing. So it says, I think we go, that was it. We're just going to read those verses. Look at Leviticus 3:17. It will be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Why not fat? Well, think about it. That's where all the toxins are stored in your body, right? You don't want to eat fat because the toxins of all the animals are stored there. And the blood does the same thing. The blood gets going and moving, and with your lymph system, takes all the toxins out of your system, okay? That's why you get air that goes into your body. That's why you breathe in air that goes into your blood that comes out and back out into the air. It's because you're purifying your system. You got to purify your blood all the time because it's got a bunch of stuff in it. Stuff you don't want. And that's why when you're going to eat flesh, the Bible condemns eating flesh that has blood in it. So what you need to do, if you're going to follow the scripture and continue eating flesh, it needs to be kosher. You understand what I mean by kosher? No blood in it. It's pretty difficult to find kosher meat, so you're going to have to wrestle with that one. Don't ask me any questions because I don't eat it and I don't know where to get it. So you wouldn't do this, would you? You wouldn't put something in your body that's going to shut you down. It just doesn't make sense. The Bible says there is good, better, and best. Well, it doesn't say that, but that's the principle we're talking about tonight. Good, better, and best. Make decisions. Decisions that will lead you to a better way of life. The Bible says, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Do you know why the Bibles are the packages? Say this is a package of pork. Why it says on the sticker there that you need to cook this thoroughly? You ever wondered why it says that? Cook this meat thoroughly. It's because living inside that meat, in the package that you're actually holding, if you're reading it, is living trichina worms. And if you don't cook it enough, you won't kill them all. And if you don't kill them all, they'll end up inside of you. And you know what it looks like? I got a picture right here. Trichina worm on the foot. If you don't want to see it, you don't have to. You can turn your head. Isaiah 66. Turn there real quick. Isaiah 66. This is going to be, I think, the last one we're dealing with in regard to the flesh of a swine. But I want to show you this one because some of you are going to say, you know what, preacher? You're talking about stuff that was for the Jews. No, I'm not. I'm talking about stuff that is for Christians living today. And I'll show it right here in Isaiah chapter 66. The Bible says in verses 15 through 17, behold, the Lord will come with fire. He will what? He will come, the second time we're talking about the second coming, he will come with fire. And with his chariots like a whirlwind, he will render his anger with fury, his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord will be many. Who will he slay? Verse 17, notice what it says. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination, and the mouse. They will be consumed together, saith the Lord. So listen, At the very end of time, when in flaming fire, Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven. And Isaiah chapter 26, I think it's verse 9, that says there is going to be a group of people that says, yes, this is our Lord. We have waited for him. Maybe it's 29 verse 6. Is it 29 verse 6 or 26 verse 9? 29 verse 6? Okay. It's that verse that says Jesus will be coming and people will say, this is our God, we have been waiting for him. There's going to be another group of people that are going to see him as though he is a flaming fire consuming. I'm telling you, I want to be the one that's waiting and looking with joy on the coming of my Savior. And it even relates to diet, just like in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, remember? God is not going to withhold anything from you that walk uprightly. God talks about sea fish. We're running a little late, so I'm not going to deal with it. But in Leviticus 9 or 11, you can read about it. Basically, if there's something in the sea that has fins, or these fins, and scales, both of them, it's clean. If it doesn't have fins and scales, it's unclean. Some people, like, for example, eat lobster. Do you know what those things do? Do you know what they're made for? They're made to be on the bottom of the ocean. And there are fish above them that release, like you do. And those things on the bottom, whether they be oysters or crabs or lobsters, they clean that stuff up. If you want to eat it, go ahead. Not me. So the Bible says pretty clearly, John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Thou shalt not kill, that includes yourself. We're going to look at two more verses and that's it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, turn there please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says there in verse 16 through 17, don't you know? You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Don't you know that? Verse 17, if any man defiles the temple that God is trying to live in, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and you are that temple. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You are a holy place. And God wants you to be what he inhabits. So treat your body like a king lives there. Amen? Not like you're living in a gutter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own, but you have been bought with the price of the blood of the Son of God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which actually belongs to God. So seriously, friends, we have learned so much tonight about what the Bible says about health. There's God's original plan in the Garden of Eden. God's going to restore that original plan in the second earth, the new heavens and the new earth. The meek will inherit that place. God says he wants you to be healthy in spirit and physically. God wants you to eat certain things. Why? Because he wants you to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is a reasonable service for what he had done for you, right? And so God is making it clear there are some things he doesn't want you to eat because even though they taste good, they are not healthy for you. They will only lead to disease. God doesn't want you to breathe foul air through cigarettes. He wants you to breathe fresh air. He wants you to exercise, not be sitting in front of the television all day long. God wants you to be able to drink pure things, water, 100% juice, different things like that. Juice that you make of your own from vegetables and fruits instead of alcohol and different things that destroy you. Why? Because he loves you. This is what it's all about. It's not about like, oh, God's, you know, this preacher, he's fanatical, he's talking about, no. This is the love of God. Yeah. in a way that maybe you have never seen it before. So I'm asking you tonight, by the grace of God and by what you have seen from His Word, are you willing to make some better decisions in your life? Yes or no?
Yes.
I want to say, Lord, tonight I want to make better decisions in my life. And I want, if you want to, raise your hand with me saying, Lord, it's me. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us this time where we could be able to look into your word. We could be able to decipher a few things between what is good and what is bad. Lord, you have tested Adam and Eve, the children of Israel, Daniel, and even yourself, Jesus, your son, right here on this earth in regard to diet. Help us not to think that this is something that's just to be pushed aside as extracurricular, but rather this is the gospel. You love us. You want us to be whole and full and pure and true. And Lord, it really affects our mind. So help us to understand that you want our minds to be clear. You want our thoughts to be ready to observe what you have said in your word. And you want us to be diligent to obey without anything keeping us back, especially at the end of time where we know it's going to be difficult to buy or sell, even if we're not addicted to something. So please, Lord, keep us, we pray, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.